Kenzie, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42, if you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, as we continue by God's grace to plod through the Sermon on the Mount. It's hopefully been a profit to you, the people of God, and it is definitely a very practical section of Scripture and very a passage of Scripture that gets to our heart and exposes our heart and exposes the sin within our heart and hopefully pushes us to Christ. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 38 and going through verse 42 will be our text this morning. This is the Word of God. The Word of the Lord stands forever. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone also sue you and take your tunic or your shirt, let him have your cloak or your jacket as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. And thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray and ask God's blessing this morning over the public preaching of God's Word. Father, you are sovereign over our sovereign over time, and because you're sovereign over time, you allot for us time for spiritual endeavors, and you know our frame, you know what is good for us, you know that we all need regular and continual exposure to the Word of God. We're all prone to wander, we're all prone to harbor sin, we're all prone to keep sin, we're all prone to justify sin. There's not a propensity or desire for us naturally to run to Christ. And so you use the Word of God and the work of your Spirit inside of us to show us our sin and show us our need of Christ. And so we ask this morning that the Word of God would bear down upon our conscience and show us once again the beauty of Christ. Show us once again the inward workings of our own sinful hearts and give us a greater hunger and a greater thirst after Christ and His righteousness. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Christ is laying down for a large crowd what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to be a person who is in the kingdom. The people that he is speaking to were primarily individuals who were leaning on external righteousness. They had a righteousness that was not a righteousness of Christ. They did not have an internal righteousness. And so Christ was showing to them and pointing out to them what true righteousness was. And he has been looking at all of these very, very practical subject matters. He's been looking at lust. He's been looking at divorce. He's been looking at anger. And he comes now to a different subject matter. And the subject matter is meant to answer this question. How is a person who has been changed by the power of the Christ, how is a person who is a Christian, a believer, a professing believer, how are they supposed to act when they deal with personal offenses? How are they to act when they deal with injustices in their life? Should a person who is a follower of Christ, should a person who has an internal righteousness, who is leaning on a righteousness that is not their own, should they act differently to individuals who are unbelievers? We all live in a fallen world, and really and truly our lives are not that much different than individuals who are unbelievers. We all deal with the same things that unbelievers deal with. Unbelievers deal with bad bosses, and unbelievers deal with extended family members that are a pain in the neck, and unbelievers deal with financial stresses and house stresses and kid stresses and offenses and injustices and all these types of things. There's really not any distinction in all of that. But is there or should there be a difference? If a person has the power of the Holy Spirit, should they be a person who is quick to retaliate? Should they be a person who is quick to do with those things? And so Christ now begins to deal with the sin of retaliation. I think retaliation and bitterness and harboring things are very quickly connected. He begins to expose that sin. We as sinners, there are many things that we come into this world having. And we come into this world thinking that we have rights. We think that we have a right to be loved. We think that we have a right to be respected in conversations, be respected in relationships. We have self-respect. perceive rights. We have natural tendencies. We think that our spouse should treat us a certain way. We think that our boss should treat us a certain way. We think that our fellow Christians in the community of the believers should treat us a certain way. And at the beginning of that, we come into this world as sinners. We begin to offend each other. And there is a natural tendency within inside of that when we deal with these offenses to have a desire to retaliate. None of us are void of that. Now, the purest form of retaliation to a person who has done an injustice to you is to simply kill that person. In a very rough section of town or rough area of town, that's how they would deal with something. And in some ways, that's an honest form of retaliation. There's no pretense there. There's no hypocrisy there. In some ways, you can almost respect that form of retaliation in some sense. In this room, we deal with more civil ways of sinning. We retaliate in different ways. We struggle in different ways. We may would not kill you. We would just choose to not speak to you for a period of time. We would choose to maybe give you a cold treatment or a silent treatment. We would do that to our spouse. We would do that to our children. We would maybe slander each other's character. We may would slander each other's name. We would maybe angle against someone. We would try to make life hard for someone. We may would avoid someone or whatever. We have different ways of retaliation. We would not simply just kill someone. And Christ comes to a group of people who believed that they were saved. They believed that they were believers. They believed that they had their personal rights and they had rights to do what they wanted. And Christ now comes and he exposes the sin of retaliation. He exposes the sin of wanting to get even with someone because they have offended or abused you, or you have had some injustice done to you at their hands. The writers of the New Testament deal with this subject. Paul says in Romans 12, 19 through 21, "Beloved believers, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. It is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he is thirsty, you give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." He says, even for believers, there's a tendency to want to retaliate. He says, but as believers, you believe in the sovereignty of God. Because you believe in the sovereignty of God, you believe that God will make all things right in this time. There's just things that you know are going to be left undone in this world. And you're okay with that. I mean, if you're a person who thinks that you're going to fix and solve every scenario and every problem and every situation in life, you are going to have some issues in life. But if you're a person that says there's sometimes things in life I'm not going to fix, I'm not going to solve, but I do have a Savior, I do have a God who's going to make things all right in His time. All injustices are going to be fixed. All offenses are going to be sorted out. There's just things you can't work out. Sometimes my kids come to me and there's just some debacle, some conflict, and you're looking at it. The wisdom of Solomon couldn't figure this out. I either say, go back and play, I'll spank both of you, I'll spank nobody. I don't know what to do. There's no solving this. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I didn't see what transacted. I didn't say who took what or who said this or who said that. And in some, about 90%, quite frankly, I don't really care. I can't solve this. You need to run to Christ. You need to flee to Christ. In the end of the day, you're probably both more than likely sinning in this offense in some way or another. And you both need to go to Christ and you need to flee to Christ. And then oftentimes our problems, as they grow and they get bigger, they don't really leave that elementary place. A lot of times in life, even as we get grown-ups, these situations sometimes, these offenses, this desire to retaliate, all these issues, it's hard to solve them. It's hard to fix them. And oftentimes we have to say that we serve a God who is sovereign, who's going to fix things. He says, vengeance is mine. I'll figure it out. I'm in charge. I'm sovereign. I will do these. God has told us that we must love our neighbor. And oftentimes we think it is very easy to love our neighbor, but it is quite difficult. It's very difficult to love our neighbor with inside the covenant community of believers, because when you live in closeness, especially in the family, especially in the church, when we live in close covenant communion, we're now closer and we're now more in range with each other. And because we're now more in range with each other, it's quite easier to harm each other, to hurt each other, to want to do wrong to each other. And so we begin to have offenses. We begin to have wrongs. We begin to have hurts. And we desire to retaliate. We desire to get even. As we examine the ways that we have all been hurt in ways, I think we would be honest that most of our hurts and our offenses, and when we desire to retaliate for some injustices, they're all quite rather small. When we're really honest about them, that they make us look very sinful when we begin to expose what they are. I was at the Y last night, and the director, the manager, who I know pretty well, we're pretty good friends, this gentleman was giving him the business, this older man, and he was in his ear. And I talked to him later, and I said, "Man, what was that dude giving you an earful? He's an old man, look established, look whatever, look sufficient in life to be somewhat civil." And he says, "He was giving me an earful because he comes one time and he can get certain channels on the treadmill, and then at other times he cannot get those channels again." And he was furious about that. And then he said some derogatory comment about entitled Hickory, old Great Bridge people, and blah, blah, blah. And he says, you wouldn't believe the type of stuff. He says, there'll be 60 treadmills up there, and none of them will be used except one or two. And a lady will come to me and said, "Someone is on my treadmill. Someone is on my treadmill. Well, did you get off of it?" And they get, "No, this is the one I use every day. And this person has taken it from me." You know, in some ways it's almost laughable. I said, do you struggle laughing in their face? I said, in your job, I would laugh. What are your problem? What is your deal here? But as we look at our life, it's sometimes when we begin to expose the things that we want to retaliate about or the offenses we've dealt with, sometimes they're not much different than that. Sometimes there's not a lot of meat to them. The psalmist says, to those who love the word of God, nothing shall offend them. That's a great statement. To those who love the word of God, nothing shall offend them. Paul deals with this in the church to Galatia. He says we must serve one another. Galatians 5:13, that sounds great, that sounds good. And then he goes on and says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed by one another. He says, there is this, we come into life with just bitterness and strife and envy and just a desire to retaliate and to devour people. That's what we come into this world like. Children, that's what you come into this world like. You want to destroy people. The psalmist says this in Psalm 27, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. Yeah, that's an amazing quote. Let's just think about that for a second. That's really what sin is. Man comes into this world created in the image of God. He's in perfect harmony with God and he loves his neighbor. Sin comes into the picture. And he says that men, they exhale violence. They exhale violence in their speech. They're bitter and they're angry. And they want to get justice done. They want to retaliate. They want everything to be even. And they're wanting to destroy their neighbors. If you have any relationships that are being maintained this morning, it's because of God's grace, purely because of God's grace. Any relationships that is maintained in a fallen world is because of the mercy and grace of God. It's an amazing that we would keep any relationships for any period of time. And so Christ now begins to expose this sin of retaliation and bitter. He begins by saying in verse 38, once again, playing on their love of Old Testament law. You have heard that it was said, you have a knowledge of the law of God. This was not an ignorant crowd. This was educated crowd. This was the civil crowd. This was the established crowd. This was the up and coming people. He says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You've heard it said, this Old Testament principle to get even. But I say you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Christ, he deals with this sin of retaliation. He says, you've heard this principle, this idiom, that if someone does something to you, you would do something of equal value to them. But he says, let me interpret it to you as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. I tell you that if anyone comes and slaps you on the right cheek, you turn to him the other one also. Now, some believers have wrongly interpreted this, that this is some view of extreme pacifism. I don't take that, obviously. This is a view that Christians should not serve in the military, or Christians should not serve in the police force, or Christians should not be in any of these vocations. I don't think that that's what Christ is teaching here. As you begin to kind of dig open it, it's talking about a very calculated attack. You'll notice he's talking about the right cheek. The imagery there is someone is backhanding you. I mean, to backhand someone, well, it is a very demeaning thing. There's not much more. Spitting in someone's face is, I think, the most demeaning thing. That's pretty horrible to do something like that. But if you slap someone, you backhand them. This is a calculated attack. This is an attack that would show a complete disdain for a person. There's no respect here. This is a retaliation in the harshest sense. You've thought about it. You've mulled it over. And you've done whatever you can in this retaliation to show them absolutely no respect whatsoever. This person has been wronged. And because they think that they have been wronged, they think that they have completely the ability and justifiable cause to wrong the other person. And Christ says that as Christians, if someone does this to you, that you should not return evil for evil. That you should, in some ways the imagery is here, is that you should serve them. You should be submissive to them. Now, this is not also propagating a view where there's no right to protect yourselves. You cannot go too far with the imagery, or you cannot get too light with the imagery. The imagery here is someone who has intentionally wronged you, and you now intentionally wrong them. Now, this here is dealing with violence. Once again, that doesn't maybe get where we are. We retaliate in different ways. Someone does something to us, and we think, how can I get back at them? Someone, you have a person you always meet with, and they're always late. Oh, it's so annoying. It inconvenience you. They're self-centered. They're self-centered. They care about their time. And they come to you and say, you don't know how busy I've been. As though that they're the only busy person in the world. They had all these things to do, and they didn't get out a certain time. And they're late to the meeting time and time again. And so what do you do in your heart? What do I do in my heart? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start showing up late to those meetings. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to retaliate that way. I'm going to try to inconvenience them. That this will be fun. I will get some joy about this because it's quite annoying to me. There's someone in your house, they constantly leave a mess wherever they go. They're always leaving a mess. They're always leaving things on the ground. They're always doing something. And you say, I'm going to leave a mess for them. I'm going to retaliate. This is what I'm going to do. My spouse, they always do this certain thing to me. It irritates me. I don't like it. It begins to harbor in my heart. I'm going to do that certain thing back to them. and just see how long they can deal with it. I mean, in some ways, shooting someone in the face is somewhat honest. I mean, it's out in the open. It's strong. I mean, obviously, it's still murder and sinful, but we retaliate in different ways. And we read these verses and we may think, oh, this doesn't expose me. But remember the law of God. It goes from the highest sin to the lowest sin. In every place in the middle, to the end, to the top, in the middle, anywhere in between. If you have broken that law, it has exposed you as a sinner. And Christ says to the person who is following Christ, they are a person who is humbly submitted to Christ. And that makes them a person who wants to glorify Christ with their actions. And they look for ways to serve. And they look for ways to do good. And they look for ways to turn the other cheek. And they look for ways for God to make all things right in His time. If the first one does with intentional violence, I think the second one would deal with retaliation when there are things taken from you or things happen to you financially. Verse 45, he says this, verse 40. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic or take your shirt, let him have your cloak as well. This is Palestinian culture. A person would have multiple tunics or shirts. They would only have one cloak or jacket, and you could go to court and you could sue a person and you could take a shirt from them. You could take that shirt from them, but oftentimes you maybe could take their cloak or their jacket, but you would have to return that to them at nighttime. If the weather was bad and the weather was severe, you would need to bring that back. And in every court system, a person, they would go after a person and they would sue them to take their shirt, some injustice. And the Bible says that if they do that you should not return evil for evil to them and even give them their cloak. Now, once again, we could go too far with this. This is not saying, hey, we should all be okay with an unjust and corrupt legal system. It's not propagating some view that a legal system should not matter. I think more specifically it's dealing maybe with persecuted Christians who are dealing with all kind of wrongs in a court system, and they maybe been pushed to the wall and they need to be humble servants and they need to not return evil for evil. But maybe more on a simplistic view, it's dealing with injustices that hit us in our pocketbook. Injustices that deal with money. We've all had that. Maybe there was an inheritance. Or maybe there was a situation that needed to work out family with money with our family. Or maybe it was some situation in another context. And we feel like we've been done wrong. We feel like there's been injustices done to us. And Christ says that for the believer is humble in those situations. The believer is gracious in those situations. He doesn't retaliate, or she doesn't retaliate. In verse 41, it says this, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Specific, you know the context, Roman rule, Roman occupation. They occupy the country. Roman rule is if a soldier, a centurion, if he asked you to do anything, you had to do it. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what's occupying your time. He comes to you and says, I want you to carry this for me. You've got to drop everything. He says, as a Christian, he could come to you and say, I want you to carry this for me 1 mile. And he says that you as a follower, you desire to carry this 2 miles. You say, well, maybe that doesn't ring in my ears, but let's shrink it down to what Christ is really saying. He's saying that we all struggle with authority in our life. We struggle with authority coming and telling us to do things that quite often we think are foolish.
We deal with authority in our life that do injustices to us. And they do things to us that we think are not prompted or not warranted, that they have no basis to do it. And we think that we have a right to disobey. We have a right to do what we want. We have a right to retaliate. We say that they're wasting our time. And Christ says, for the follower of Jesus Christ, he is submissive to authority. No matter what the request is, if the request is not going against your conscience and the request is not asking you to sin, God is telling us that authority is a vehicle of the sovereign triune God. That's hard to stomach and take as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. Christ says that the servant of God, he's humble in that regards. He humbly submits to the authority that God has placed in his life. And whatever it asks him to do, if it doesn't ask him to sin, if it asks him to paint a building that is perfectly fine pink, he paints it pink to the glory of God. He does that. And therefore, he magnifies God. You say, man, goodness, this is getting a little intense. I thought it just meant, you know, we just had to pray a prayer or something. Or give 10% of our income. Those things are not that difficult. But now you're getting big. There's desires to retaliate when our time is at hand. Maybe the first one dealt with physical violence, and the second one may deal with our personal property. This deals with our time. We don't like our time taken, especially as Americans. We all have certain number of hours in the day, and everybody in this room is busy. No matter what your lot is, everybody is busy, and there's people who take our time and we want to retaliate. There's certain people in my life that when I see them coming, I know that's an hour conversation, right? You know that. You look at your phone sometimes, and you look at the caller ID, and you see that name. And the second you see that name, you think that's an hour. That's an hour. It's an hour of time. If you've never had that thought, then you are that person, probably more than likely. That's probably the case. If that's a new thought to you, that means that you are that person. You hit the nail. We don't like our time taken, and it's valuable to us, and it's stolen from us, and we want to retaliate against that person because they've taken our time. Christ says that this is a mark of the unbeliever. This is not a mark who is a follower of Christ. Retaliation, it's rooted in bitterness, I think. It's rooted in a heart of bitterness. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Now notice those connections there. Bitterness, this inward desire to get even with someone. This inward desire that you've been wrong and you want to retaliate. He links up bitterness, wrath, and anger, and he links it with slander to be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgave you. How do you know if you as a believer have a heart that's filled with bitterness? How do you as a believer know that you have a heart that wants to retaliate? What is going on in your heart? I think oftentimes you will have a good memory of situations, of detailed situations. That's how the mind works. You will review things over and over in your head. Your spouse maybe has done something to you, and you can remember them verbatim. I felt oftentimes women have this skill very well. They seem to have very good memories on things where men can't remember where they put their wallet at times. But you come to a situation or a wrong that was done over a decade ago, and it is though you can't remember your child's middle name, but you can remember that for a second. You review these things over and over in your head. This is sin. you are bitter, you have a desire to retaliate, when you are extremely critical, you slander. Those things go hand in hand. You're saying, am I bitter at this person? And it usually will show itself when you slander. That's one way we retaliate. We retaliate with our speech. We retaliate when we degrade someone's character. You think about situations. They keep you up at night. They keep you up at night and you say, well, man, if I just had the opportunity to speak, this is what I'd say. I'd say it just like this, and I bet you a second they wouldn't know what to say to that. And you liked it. If I had the opportunity to speak to that family member that I've been holding this again, oh man, he or she, they would not know how to respond to this. I'd make them look the fool. And you think about it. And you meditate about it. Oh, you've not shot someone. But you or me, we are guilty of this. We're breaking God's law. We're retaliating. We're dreaming about retaliation. You're probably bitter and you have a heart of retaliation when you are breaking God's law and you are giving yourself excuses and accommodation when you are not doing that for another person who is doing the same thing. That's often an indicator. It's often an indicator where you're really hard on someone for something they have done. But when you have done very similar things, you give yourself all the grace that you need. Woe unto him that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When you find yourself always justifying your own sin, always approving of your own circumstances, but always being harsh on another person. You have a heart of bitterness. You have a heart of retaliation. You see, the bitterness and retaliation, it's very challenging to deal with. It's very deceptive. The reason it's very deceptive is because it comes in a very camouflage box to us. If I right now, hopefully, I get in the car and I speak harsh words to my wife, and later on the Holy Spirit convicts me of that, or I lose my patience with one of my children. If I do that, usually more than likely, I'm going to think about what I did wrong. Yeah, I'm going to think about, yeah, this is what I did. And I shouldn't have done that. But on the other side, if someone does something wrong to me, I feel like they've offended me. There's been some injustice done to me. And the whole time that I'm dealing with that, I've got feelings of bitterness. I've got feelings of retaliation. I'm angling in my heart what I'm going to do to them. The struggle begins to be that I never think about my own sin. All I'm doing now is thinking about the wrong that's done to me. That's why in some ways it's really hard when wrong is done to us. When wrong is done to us, we often fail to realize our own sin. I think that's probably one of the challenges, or one of the downfalls of secular psychology or secular reasoning. Because all of this wrong could be done to a person and they could be responded in all of these sins, and in some ways they always give them an escape in that. The Bible doesn't give you or me an escape when offenses are done to me, no matter how harsh they are. I still have a response, of an accountability of how I respond. You see, bitterness and anger when offenses are done to us, we fail to see how we are responded, and we begin to focus on those sins and never confessing our sins. In a real way, there's really no healing there until we begin to confess our own sins. And God says that's where healing begins. The Bible tells us, live it as possible, peace with all men, as possible you can. That means that you and me have a responsibility to confess. That means you and me have a responsibility to run to Christ. You cannot confess for another person. It doesn't happen like that. As much as you want to confess the sin of your neighbor, have fun with that. It will leave you in all kind of knots spiritually dealing with that. I think oftentimes, you know, we can become bitter and want to retaliate against man. But you know, I think pastoring, what I found is worse, is that I've found people that are bitter towards God and they want to retaliate against God. I mean, they have dealt with a hard providence in their life. We've all had hard providences. You may be in a situation in life where, you know what, you didn't pick your family. You were raised in a certain family where injustices were done to you, and that was completely outside of your hands. And that was a hard providence. And you look at someone, other person, and you look at them and you say, you know, the only thing that they happened to them is that they were born. And in the second they were born, all of these good things flowed to them. And you say, well, what's the deal? I've got a life of hard providences that God has brought in my life. And I feel bitterness towards God. If I was really going to be honest about it, I'm bitter towards God. And I retaliate against God in some ways. My thoughts are a retaliation of God when I question His sovereignty, when I question His will, when I question the way that He's done things. I'm retaliating against God. I'm going against God. I wouldn't have the nerve to storm the very gates of heaven and go to the triune God, but I'll do that all day in my thoughts. Maybe God is giving you a hard circumstances in your work, or God is giving you a situation where you're married to someone where they are extremely challenging. Whatever it may be, these providences come into our life and we become bitter at God and we want to retaliate against God. And we forget that God has brought all of those things into our life for our good and His glory. Thomas Watson said, quote, "We know all about the one who brought this trial to us, and yet we forget the one who sent it or who is behind it." See, we think sometimes we've dealt with an injustice from a father, or we've dealt with some injustice from a mother, or we've dealt with some hard circumstances. And this is a very fine line. And I don't know the mystery of all of this, but one thing I know is that God is absolutely sovereign over all of that. Absolutely sovereign over all of it. And all of it is ultimately to change us, to renew us, to conform us to the image of God's Son, and to glorify Him. How does it all work out? I don't have a clue. That's above my pay grade. But He's sovereign. And we trust in that. And we not become bitter at God. We do not want to retaliate against God. You say, how do we fight bitterness and retaliation? Well, surprise, we fight it with the gospel. We know this. To quote the verse again, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." That's the sin. That's the sin that we commit. Be kind to one another. That's the imperative. Tenderhearted. That's what He's telling us to do. What He's telling us not to do. What He's telling us to do. What's the basis of it? Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgave you. The only foundation or basis of any of those things happening is for you to understand the gospel deeply. Understand that you have been forgiven greatly. And understand that all the things that the triune God could bring against you and me, He's brought against His Son on our behalf. He could retaliate with all of His wrath against us. And He's brought that against His Son. He brought that against His Son. We have faith, some way saying the same point that I've said before. We have faith in God's providence. We have faith that He will set all things right. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. Focus on the gospel. Focus on the fact that Christ is sovereign. It's so easily to have offenses. It's so easily to desire to retaliate. It's so easy to want to go after a certain person or a certain thing to feel that. Christ says that does not mark you as a believer. It's this group of people. They
They had a righteousness that was not the righteousness of Christ. They believed that they were followers of God. And in the end of the day, they acted just as unbelievers did. They acted just as unbelievers did in the way that they responded. May we be Christians. May we be Christians that we understand the gospel. We understand what Christ has done for us. We understand what Christ could have brought to us. But instead of bringing that to us, He brought it to our Son, His Son, excuse me. So that in the end we could be justified, in the end we could be forgiven. And because we understand our sin and we understand what Christ has done for us and we understand what the cross and the atonement was about, that now flows out of us and how we respond to our neighbor. And may that what marks us, and may that what grants us or gives us assurance and confirms our assurance and how we respond in these circumstances. Father, we are a people who are easy to retaliate, easy to harbor offenses and grudges. May we as Christians, followers of Christ, rid ourselves of these sins. And may we cherish and savor the gospel. And may we do these things through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the one and true and only God. And we ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.